All right, thank you very much. And hello again. My dear radio friend, how in the world are you? You doing all right today? Well, I trust so. I've just been praying that God might put His truth and His love and His blessing and all of the inspiration and encouragement that you need into these words that are spoken in these few moments. You know, unless it's a ministry where you share God with people, it turns out to be a disappointment. You and I have both lived long enough to know that sometimes we've been terribly disappointed with messages that were quite correct, but that didn't minister to us, right? The burden of my heart is that I might minister God to you, His love, His truth, and all of the blessed encouragement and inspiration that comes from a touch of the pierced hands. That's what I want. Well, this is your good friend Bob Cook, and we've been looking at 2 Peter, and in that second chapter, which is full of indictment against the sinful human heart, we found that people live, Peter says, after the flesh. They live according to the law of the old sinful nature. And we looked at some of the verses in 2 Peter 2 that follow that statement in verse 10. This is review just to show you where we're going. We found the people who are living after the flesh, it says in the lust of uncleanness, unbridled desire always leads to compromise and corruption. Giving in to yourself constantly never improves you. It's the lust of uncleanness. Second, they're rebellious. They despise government, refusal to be under authority, presumptuous, my way is the best way, self-willed, don't get in my way. Not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, critical in their, destructively critical, there's a good kind of criticism, of course, but destructively critical in their attitude toward those who are in responsible positions. They are morally, chronically afflicted. They cannot, it says, cease from sin. Their influence is harmful. They beguile unstable souls. They are motivated by covetousness. I want. I, me, and mine. Oh, what a dreadful list of discouraging things that is. But it's all true, isn't it? And when I look in the mirror, like you, like all of us, if we're honest, we have to say that's a portrait of human nature without the grace of God. But as I told you, my purpose in going through this chapter, filled as it is with indictment of sinful human nature, is to give you a contrast as well in terms of what the Holy Spirit of God can do in a life that has made the Lord Jesus Christ Lord, and He has then become your Savior. And so we went over to Romans 8, didn't we? And we found then what it means to live not after the flesh, Romans 8:1. See, this is a contrast then between 2 Peter 2 and Romans 8:1. Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is it? First of all, there's a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, there's a new law of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Third, there's a new focus, a new mindset, a new set of priorities. They mind not the things that are after the flesh, but the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Incidentally, we didn't stop on verse 7 when we were going through that passage, but it is 7 and 8 are interesting from this point of view. He says the carnal mind, that's the way you were born, without the saving grace of God, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot, doesn't say must not, says cannot please God. Some of you know that I used to work at Scripture Press. I spent 5 wonderful years there working with Vic and Bernice Corey, the founders of Scripture Press. And I was vice president for distribution. I think that's highbrow and a little bit pious for sales manager. I think that's what it was. In any case, I got to know these dear people even better than I had through the 30 years of our acquaintance before. And it was a delight, I must say. I asked Mrs. Corey one time about her own conversion, and she told me that after having majored in English and English composition in college and starting out in a teaching career, she was determined to have a good time in life as well. And so it was that although she had had at least a nominal Christian profession, she was vigorously trying to maintain her Christian profession at the same time enjoy the things, as we say, the things of the world. And she told me there was an old aunt that spoke to her one day and pointed her to this passage: "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." And she read it, and she said, "Auntie, what do you mean?" And the dear lady said, "Read it once again and tell me what it says." "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." And then the dear lady pointed out that that verse doesn't say must not, should not, says you cannot. It said it's impossible for you to please God and still have one foot in the world. Well, the thing began to work in her heart. She was convicted of it, and it wasn't long after that, she told me, that she made a complete commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, one that never faltered through all the years of her work and ministry, finally many years as editor-in-chief of Scripture Press, originating many of the blessed things that people are still studying today. Cannot, not must not, not should not, but cannot. It is impossible to compromise the matter of commitment to Jesus Christ. Either you do or you don't. Something to think about if you have been tempted to try to compromise the matter at some point or other where you didn't really want to face the will of God. So, new focus, new dynamics. Verse 11, "If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies." And I reminded you that although you and I believe in the ultimate resurrection of the body, and we also know that when you become a Christian, there is a spiritual resurrection that takes place. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked," and so on. Ephesians 2:1. This also may well apply to the matter of a quickening in the life you now live. You're mortal now. After you die, you're corruptible. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "This mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption." And so you're mortal while you're alive. And so he says he'll quicken your mortal bodies. The Holy Spirit of God gives you a new dynamic. There is no question about that. Is there? And thank God it's so. I'm sorry, I have to clear my throat once in a while. I got a frog in my throat, as the man said. Did you ever see a frog in somebody's throat? No, neither did I. But that's the idiom we use. Can you imagine some dear interpreter out in another country trying to interpret an expression like that? I was in Beatenburg many years ago when Dr. O.J. Smith was preaching on his famous sermon on the man God blesses, uses. And he came to the point where this was an emphasis on prayer. And he said, if you're not a praying person, if you don't pray earnestly, everything is going to go haywire. Frau Dr. Wassersug, that dear, dear lady who was in charge and who also served as interpreter into German, looked at him with some puzzlement, and she said, "Haywire? Haywire? What is this haywire?" We certainly give our interpreters a bad time now and again. A frog in your throat. How are you going to interpret that? Well, anyhow. So, dear friend, here we're looking at a new dynamic. Is it not true that the Spirit of the living God working in you will not only quicken your heart and mind and emotions and the spiritual side of your nature, but actually will have an effect upon your whole life, including your body? The answer is yes. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Isaiah said, "Mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint." Yes, I know people get sick, and I know all of us ultimately will die unless the Lord Jesus comes and we get the upper taker instead of the undertaker. I know that. But I also know that while you're on the way, God reserves the right to give you His extra strength when you need it. Hallelujah for that. Aren't you glad? I am. New dynamic, new leadership, verse 14, led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then there's new cry. You've not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Then your Greek New Testament tells you that that expression, spirit of bondage, means like a slave. You're afraid of what your slave master is going to do to you. I've talked with people again and again who said, I'm afraid that if I do something wrong, God will whip me, or God will punish me, or I will lose my salvation. No, beloved, God's not that kind of a God. Once you've given yourself to Him in complete submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to God. He's your heavenly Father. He may discipline you. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, the Bible says, and scourgeth every, not some, every son whom He receiveth. God will discipline us, but He's not going to dump us. He's not going to forsake us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee is the promise that you can claim. You don't have to be afraid of your loving heavenly Father. Now, you may have had an earthly father that abused you. Some people have. I was fortunate in that I had a tender and loving, although fiercely disciplinarian father. He expected obedience, and when he didn't get it, I got the application of the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. But he was very loving and tender, and I had, as I look back, I think a very reasonable and happy childhood. You can't say the same, some of you. You were abused by father or mother or both. I know that that's true of many. But I want you to know that whatever your own background and whatever has been built into your memories and whatever besides that has been hereditarily built into your genes, I want you to know that your Heavenly Father loves you. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. God loves you, and He's not about to beat up on you. He's not about to do something mean and spiteful to you. He's not about to give you even your just deserts. If we got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell already. But God is merciful, and He's given us the spirit of family, not fear. Family, not fear, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Papa, God. Oh, I'm so glad that's true. And you can turn to your Heavenly Father in love. Yes, you're imperfect. So am I. But Jesus is our High Priest and our Advocate. And God looks at you through Him. Loving Father, we love Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener supported. For more information or to find out how you can help continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 7247. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.